live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas. It's Cofield and Company.
Five o'clock. So yesterday, I all but guaranteed one of my strongest takes ever. If you were listening, you know how serious I was. All but guaranteed the Mavs were going to win game three. Kyrie Irving would have a big game. Celtics would not be as efficient as they've been. They haven't been that efficient, but they've been great on defense. 2-1 series. 2-1 series. Didn't happen. Luka was out there shacking the fool. We'll get to Luka and what this means for the rest of the series, which is probably it's over. But what it means for him in the future and the Mavericks, and how serious can he be taken as anything more than a guy who scores a bunch and does it in spectacular fashion, but maybe he's not a winner. Maybe he doesn't have what it takes to lead a franchise and be responsible in the biggest moments. I do not want to get another prediction incorrect. I made a prediction at some point in the first 2 hours today. I didn't have all the information. I'm now scrambling. Okay. I'm getting some feedback. I need this. I made the prediction that in a battle of first pitches at the Aviators, tonight, Greg Salerno from the award-winning show The Arena, our biggest show on ESPN Las Vegas, Wednesdays for an hour, he'll be throwing out the first pitch. Tomorrow night, Q Myers over on Raider Nation Radio will be throwing out the first pitch. Danny's with us from the morning show, Danny Smythe. You heard me say, or I asked you guys, Swede was in earlier, and I asked both of you guys, well, I made the statement, Salerno will outperform Q. He'll throw a better pitch. I set it up by saying Q is a fit man. He's whatever he is, mid-40s. He looks like he's in his 30s. You know, he looks good, right? Looks like he could be an athlete. I mean, hell, his son's playing Division I basketball now. Really good player. Salerno, you said 6-1. I said 325. But then I also said he will get the job done throwing out the first pitch in better fashion than Q. You guys both said Q, and then you told me that Greg's got an arm injury. He's thinking about throwing righty instead of lefty. I just texted him, and I need more answers. I said, Greg, are you throwing lefty tonight, or are you going to really try to hit the mitt, or are you gagging it? And he said, I thought about throwing right-handed, but I might chicken out. So carry the next 5 minutes. I got to hash this out with him. He's got to throw lefty. His arm can't be that injured that he can't lob it in. And by the way, a lob that hits the mitt might be able to outpace Q if Q tries to fire it in too strong. And, you know.
But that's the thing. We talked to.
Pulls a Baba Booey, or I'm trying to think of somebody, you know, Bob Costas.
We talked to Greg this morning on the morning show, and he said he doesn't want to lob it. He wants to fire it in there. And last time he did it, he said he got, I think, like around 70, 75 miles an hour, he claims.
Come on.
But he said he threw it into the dirt, and it was so far away from home plate that the professional catcher couldn't stop it. It went all the way to the backstop. So he struggled, but then again, I will give him credit. He said this was the second game in Aviators history after they moved from Cashman over to Summerlin and changed from the 51s to the Aviators a few years back. So his arm might have healed over the last 5-6 years. We'll see. I mean, I'm rooting for him. I'm hoping he can hit the mitt. I don't think so. I think Boss Man's got it.
Sorry, there were a flurry of text right there because I'm getting more and more angry. Yeah, again, he said, I thought, ooh, look at that quick answer. I think there's some respect here. I like how Greg, I was kind of chastising him. I said, I got to bet on you to perform better than Q. Q is doing it tomorrow. Do it right. Respect the honor of getting a first pitch. He responded, lefty it is.
There you go.
I mean,
he's going to fight through the injury.
I don't want to keep having a conversation with you and then him on text, but there's also, there's big fella athleticism, and he's kind of holding the mantle for all of us who are a bit slovenly and don't have the look of an athlete. We need this, Salerno.
If he didn't have that shoulder injury, I would absolutely be going with him with everything he's told me about growing up. He said he went pretty far in his baseball career.
See, I didn't think you knew that. I was trying to set you guys up.
I assumed
you just thought he was a fat slob his whole life.
Oh, no.
And has no athletic ability.
Oh, no. He loves to talk about his baseball career.
He does love to talk about it. I forget that we actually talk about these things on the show.
Now, his,
you can hear it.
His basketball abilities, that I question that every time he talks about it.
That one's in question. Could you throw a better first pitch, Danny Smyth, than Q or Salerno?
I'll toot my own horn and say yes.
I don't know. Why'd you hesitate? I thought you were being honest. You looked to the side. I'm like, nah, he sucks.
No, I'll say I could. Okay. Yeah.
How would you throw it?
Well, I'm a lefty.
You're a lefty too?
Yeah.
Okay. You come in three quarters? You go in sidearm?
No, probably three quarters.
Okay.
Yeah. When I played
three quarter speed, max speed? Max speed's dangerous.
No,
if you haven't been on the mound in a while, the angle,
I'm not
the distance, it throws you off.
I'm not trying to have, you know, a 50-cent moment.
Sure.
I'm trying to get it within the batter's box. So
exactly.
I'm going three-quarter speed.
All right.
The one year that I played Little League Baseball, I tried to introduce a sidearm pitch. It did not go well.
I didn't pitch much in baseball. Actually, when I did throw a sidearm.
Really?
But it was pus. Yeah, I mean, I think I forced some ground balls, but I was okay. But I couldn't throw hard enough to, you know, get out there and freaking try to buzz it in. So I tried to do a little trickeration.
I think those are sidearm pitches are they're the most athletic ones on the mound. Whether they're good or bad, just the fact that you can throw different variations of pitches from the sidearm and get it to the plate with good speed, that's incredible.
I think Tyler Rogers, the righty of the Rogers brothers on the Giants, he comes from underneath.
Okay.
Like old school.
That's even harder.
Like Tecolvi, Quisenberry, Doug Jones was kind of like that. I'm naming a lot of old baseball players. Jones was more the master of the changeup where he'd throw, you know, 81 and then his changeup would come in at freaking 58 and guys would whiff on it. So, okay. All right. So we're building some reputations here, supposedly. But the next 2 days are big, big moments. By the way, we're going to be at the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame. These are Hall of Fame worthy moments for broadcasters down the road. If you throw a good first pitch, that'll be in your induction.
Oh, video. Absolutely.
So when Salerno becomes the biggest sports radio host we've ever seen here in Las Vegas, that'll be part of the video, say in, well, how long is he going to live? I don't want to I'm kidding. So if it's 20, whatever, 2048, he's going into the hall. Like Greg Salerno on June, whatever of whatever year, here's a first pitch. Look at him when he was young and athletic and not fat.
And if he doesn't, then it's going viral.
Is anyone – I hope someone from the Vast Digital crew at Lotus Broadcasting will be out there to record both of them.
I hope so.
You're that confident in Q, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty confident.
Are you sure you're not worried about your placement, your future?
No.
More opportunities here and there?
No, not at all.
Okay, all right. Not at all.
Very confident in the boss.
Okay. Oh, this would be a good upset, just based on looks. Salerno, Q, back-to-back nights throwing out the first pitch with the Aviators. All right, let's get to brass tacks here inside of five with Luca. By the way, you can give us feedback on the text line. Finley Kia text line, 364-1100, 364-1100. This Lakers fan expressing what a hellacious week this is going to be. 6'9". I keep doing 691-87. 364-1100. That's the old text line. 364-1100. Same as our call-in number. Someone said about the Lakers week, Hurley rejects us, we lose the logo, Jerry West, and the Celtics win 18th. That is a miserable week.
Yeah, for Lakers, I mean, that might be
as bad as it gets.
Yeah.
And there are people, and we'll kind of, we'll lift the hashtag too soon on someone's death. We don't really have that restriction, but I put it in this week. Friday is when we talk more about Jerry West, the logo. And I thought the star of Winning Time. I enjoyed that show. His family did not. I think I have an issue with you. But
okay.
What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, I watched the first season. It was good. I never got around to the second season.
I thought they were both good. I thought the stories were tremendous. You know, not everyone wants the depiction to be a certain way. I thought the way Chick Hearn came off, I was like, he came off like a jackass, but I'm like, I don't think that's much different than a lot of play-by-play people. And I'm not talking about anyone locally. They're all wonderful people. But it's a very dominant position in the booth, and you have a certain way you want to do things. And if Chick Hearn is putting up the stop sign to Pat Riley, he can do it. Now, I think Pat Riley knows more basketball, even when he was coming out of the NBA, than Chick Hearn. But whatever. The depiction upset some people. You might get me upset here.
Do tell.
You sent over a headline. Are we going to get hit because of worker pay increases? What are you talking about?
So in California, they raised minimum wage. I think it's somewhere around $20 range. And there was an article that came out that In-N-Out, the beloved burger chain, they're raising their prices because of how much they have to pay their employees.
I did see that. Any price raise sucks. It wasn't that big.
No.
Didn't seem that outrageous.
However,
yes,
this could be the start of bigger ones.
Well, it's already happened.
Yeah.
It's already happened with other fast food companies where they've gotten out of control, and now there's an active boycott. People are like, I'm not paying that, so
yeah,
now I'm just not going. And the argument here is, and I kind of liken it to, and I know they're individual franchise owners, so it's not exactly a baseball owner. I think baseball is the worst at they don't market their athletes well. It becomes harder to market their athletes when they crap on them every contract negotiation and try to badmouth them. And then there's also this thought over the years in baseball that every time a player's salary goes up, well, then we have to raise ticket prices, which is nonsense. There is no correlation.
Yeah,
the A's ticket prices have not gone down at whatever they call their stadium now, and their payroll has gone down every year. We've consistently seen baseball owners lower their payroll. The tickets don't go down.
Yeah, there was a story last year about the Orioles, and I guess their stadium, they have some sort of like value deal at one of their concession stands. And the owner of the Orioles made a comment about, yeah, well, once all of these contracts come up and we have to pay these guys, you guys might see something in the concession stand start going up. We might lose that value menu. Like, prices need to go up in order to be able to pay these guys.
I don't mind a minimal bump, but when they're going as crazy as some places are going, I'm not down with it.
No.
So, Come back to me a year from now with In-N-Out. Who else do we want to name? Let's say McDonald's. Chipotle's been in the crosshairs. We've talked about them.
And we've
come back to me next year that they, in California, they were made to raise employee salaries. They raised the prices, and their profits stayed the same. Because you watch what happened next year.
And one
right, their profits will not stay the same. They will not go down. They will go up.
Yeah,
which is basically proof that they could have taken it. They could have taken a little haircut to pay the. I almost said the athletes. So I'm thinking of baseball and owners. I don't know. I'd be real careful about looking at the sources on this because I saw a story the other day that started getting put around as fact. That look at California. They've already fired and downsized 10,000 workers. I sat there for a half an hour, and I'm like, what's the source on this? And the only real source I could find on it was a guild of an association that represents fast food restaurant owners.
Ooh.
Have they really shed 10,000 jobs? Or is this, you know, baseball-like, where you're like, tough times.
Right.
Or really good times, but you're going to have to pay for the salaries going up. I hope the Orioles do that. I hope they destroy all the goodwill because they're brilliant with their scouting. Like, I swear, and I know, who was it that went up and down? Was it Holiday?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
He's not ready yet. But, like, every infielder they've taken seems to come up and be pretty good. Like, they've nailed it on a bunch of prospects. Please do that because they were already in the depths of baseball because before this owner, people hated Peter Angelos, and they cashed the check. They put out a low-level team, and they made their money off whatever they knew the appreciation on the club was going to be, and rev sharing and TV money. If this new group that actually can scout talent and actually seems to want to win pulls that, hey, we have to jack up ticket prices if you want to keep these players, now, you know what? Find other revenue streams. Or continue to be good and fill the stadium every freaking game at these prices. That'll make it good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be careful on buying into the economics of some ownership. All right, so an NFL deal came down a little while ago, and I want to cushion this with, I know the salary cap is going up, but I do still believe that there should be a pecking order in terms of the monies that are being paid the elite quarterbacks. And I think the league has had an issue, and I'll give you an example where it reared its ugly head and now the team's going to suck for a couple of years. The thought that every quarterback, 1 to, say, 13, when they're young, like the first of the 13th best quarterback, when they get their extended deal, their first big deal, it has to be the top of the NFL, to me, is absurd. And I think we just saw an example. I like Trevor Lawrence. I think he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Is he ever going to legitimately be a top seven quarterback? I don't know. I get the feeling that he may be a guy who's like 8 to 15 off injured. Mm-hmm. He just signed a deal for $200 million guaranteed, and that's the only number that really matters. The number, you know, that they're going to point to is he got $55 million a year over, what, 5 years, $275 million. So now he's tied for the highest paid a quarterback?
He's tied with Joe Burrow at $55 million. That is absolutely insane.
Because now, Tua is up next.
And Dak.
And Dak for his second big contract. I mean, I'll give you the example. And I misread this. Because Seattle had it right. He wasn't elite, and he was on the way down. Denver's destroyed for a couple of years because of what they did with that extension with Russell Wilson. And when so much of it's guaranteed, because so many NFL contracts, Danny, are phony, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't, you know, Derek Carr, when he signed a deal here, an extension, they were like, oh, you know, $35 million, $42 million a year. Like, a quarter of it was guaranteed. That's the contract.
Right.
And same thing, Derek Carr's contract in New Orleans, not to beat up on him, but like, oh, a four-year deal for this. Like, it's a one-and-a-half-year deal. Mm-hmm. $200 million guaranteed, like, you ain't getting out of that. Just like the Broncos, like, we can't get out of most of the money with Russell Wilson. We're cooked for the next 2 years on the cap.
Yep.
So this will be a disaster if Trevor Lawrence isn't a top 10 quarterback, like, right now, and stays upright.
Yeah, for the entire contract. Like, if he has one season where he's injury prone, that contract is even more overpaid than it already looks on paper. Like, they need consistency from him. They need division titles. They need runs in the playoffs, not just first-round exits.
Rankings came out a couple days ago. Chris Sims has been counting down his top 40 quarterbacks of this year in the National Football League. Aiden O'Connell is not ranked in the top 40. Gardner Minshew is 39. He's a starting quarterback for a team that went near 500 last year. Win total will tell you they're not going to match what they did last year, posted win totals in town. But anyway, they have high hopes. I'm not a lover of Gardner Minshew, and I don't love that contract. But if you presented me, hey, can you build a winning team with Gardner Minshew getting, I think it's $15 million guaranteed. That's the guarantee. I think it's 2 for $25 million. Would you rather try to build a winning team with Minshew making $15 million guaranteed over 2 years or whatever his salary is for the year, say 12 and a half. Or would you rather spend $55 million on Trevor Lawrence and try to build a team? Because there are Raider fans, and I laughed at them. But now it's an interesting discussion who said, if you look at the numbers, Gardner Minshew is about the same quarterback as Trevor Lawrence. I don't believe that. But then when you roll in the money, that does change your team building aspect.
Yes, because ultimately, because of the salary cap, you create your team based on how much money you have available on top of the performance of your players. Now, like we just said, they give him all that money, $55 million. Hopefully it works out and he can perform very well. I personally would rather have the Minshew / O'Connell, let them battle it out, see who can come out on top. You never know. O'Connell might beat him out, and then he can start progressing to be a top 20, top 15 quarterback. Will he break into the top 10? That'll be extremely difficult for him to do. But he could get into that top 20 area, maybe around 18.
Who's going to step up and say no? I mean, the Broncos did, but they paid the bill, and now they got to pay more of the bill. Who's going to step up and say no?
I don't think anybody will.
The Raiders kind of did on the second go-around with Carr, and there were a lot of circumstances that convinced them, like, it's and Josh McDaniels, I don't think, liked him. So, and he wanted to go a different route. Didn't go the right route with Jimmy G. That was not a good deal. Who's going to step up and say no with one of the young guys and go, I'm sorry, you're good. We like you. We want to build around you, but I'm not giving you the same money as Joe Burrow, and I'm not going to guarantee 75% of it.
I don't think anybody will. I mean, it is the most important position on the field. So if you have, if you draft a,
you don't think anyone will with any other young quarterbacks coming up. Come on, man.
They might, when they go to re-sign them, they might not give a, not reset the market like it, we see happening every single year. But I think they would still give a quarterback, you know, top 10, top 7 money, it, even if they are an average quarterback.
More likely than not, if the top number is $55 million a year, $200 guaranteed, in this case it's $142 million at signing, more likely than not, Tua will be making $56 million a year when he gets his contract or not.
I'll say yeah.
So they're going to do it?
Yeah.
Would you do it?
No.
Okay. I was hoping you would go down the path that I love people to go down, which is like, well, what are they going to do without Tua? Get someone else.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, because especially these teams, I like Tua. And I do. He creeps me out right now because I think he's got Zemp face. I don't know what he did to lose weight. I'm sure he worked hard. He looks like a totally different person, but good for him. If they told him, hey, you're chubby, if he, you know, came to the realization, I don't want to look like this, I don't feel good, I can be more durable by being more nimble. Apparently he's down from like 227 to 202 or 205. So that shows dedication. I know last year he worked. Hey, whatever he did he have a concussion? I don't think he wound up getting through the whole season, and he did some jujitsu, and he learned how to fall.
Yeah, he took tumbling classes and all that.
You know what? He seems like a good guy. He's a worker. Is he a great quarterback, or does he have throw-and-go guys that make him look awesome?
I would say throw-and-go. I mean, I don't think he puts up those numbers that he does unless he has Tyreek Hill there. You take Hill off the team, and you put, you know, bigger guys but aren't as fast who will give you like, you know, 10, 15, 20-yard plays instead of those deep shots that are dangerous every single play as a possibility, I don't think he puts up the numbers that he does.
Danny's in from the morning show. He's a company. We're going to get to the NBA on the way back. We're going to try to track down Curtis Terry, talk a little NBA, talk a little college basketball as we're out here at Stadium Swim on a Thursday, Circa Las Vegas. Right now, let's give away another pair of Lakers tickets. This is our final pair of the day. October 15th, exhibition game at T-Mobile. It's a yearly tradition. They're back on October 15th. LeBron and company and a to-be-named coach. Caller 7-364-1100. You can buy the tickets. They're on sale already. October 15th date with the Lakers in Vegas at AXS.com.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
Luka would be a freak athlete.
He'd be a freak player.
He'd be a freak athlete. He'd absolutely be a freak player.
In the 80s, he'd be really, really, really good.
Yes, yeah.
Would he be as good as Magic Johnson?
Again, as I've said,
probably on the same level.
If Luka walked on the court to play against the, like, 1984 Celtics or whatever you're going to say, I fully believe they would quit.
America's game. It's fantastic.
Love it. Going back to the 80s, it's fantastic. That is an Adam Hill take from before the series, claiming that Luka in the 80s would have the 84 Celtics quit. It's looking now like if he walked on the floor, they'd all be like, you know what, dude? They turn to their right, and I want to get the rosters right. I think I'm going to get it wrong. They'd be like, listen, McHale, Bird, Parrish, you guys could all blow past Luka. That's how bad he is on defense. You know what? I'm going to make the most random reference. This is terrible because no one on the show knows his name. But, like, Scott Wedman, Greg Kite could blow by Luka. That was terrible last night. Curtis Terry, you're a Luka guy. Explain yourself.
I mean, I love Adam's take, though. I mean, leave it to Adam to come with something like that.
I kind of do as well, because I'm very big on, you know, guys now going back to the 80s. It would be interesting, but the athlete part of Luka being a dominant athlete in the 80s, I don't buy it, and especially if you don't bust your ass on both ends of the floor.
Yeah, I mean, from his athleticism, he would be able to get by those guys. The only thing that doesn't go well for that, I mean, for that conversation is you could be so much more physical defensively in the 80s. And so I think he would probably get beat up a little bit, and with how it went the last couple of games in terms of kind of complaining to the refs, that wouldn't bode well for him. But that would be fun to watch. but he's definitely got to lead his team. And I think even aside from the defensive struggles that he's had, because it's been known he's not a great defender. This is not something that just came about in the last week and a half during the finals. He's going to have to put forth a better effort to give his team a chance to come back from this 3-0 deficit. But then on top of that, they've got to just find someone else to score. He's doing what he can. Obviously, Kyrie had a big game, but just offensively, they just don't have what they've had all season.
What do you think right now is worse for Luka's image, the him not playing defense or the fact that after every time he gets called for a foul, he throws his arms up, he's cussing, he's telling his coach, you better challenge that call. Like, what do you think is worse for him, the defense or the fouls and his reactions?
You know, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I mean, honestly, if you watch enough of the Mavericks and Luka Doncic, he's done this all season, right? He's very boisterous with his reactions towards the refs. He's obviously not very pleased with some of the calls, and I think some of them he's probably got a bone to pick. In terms of the defense part, though, again, same thing. He's not a defender. He's not known to be that. I think one thing that's probably causing some frustration, and one thing I noticed is after the All-Star break when they kind of made it league-wide when they were kind of start officiating games differently. And then we saw that even in the playoffs. And so I think once you get to this stage of the game, you're due to get some of those calls. But again, they've changed the way that they officiated the NBA in the second half of the season and definitely in the playoffs. So I can kind of probably understand some of that frustration. But nonetheless, I think who Luka is and what he does, obviously he's one of the top five players in the NBA. And what he does defensively is not what he's known for. There's other guys on his team. Notably former runner-up with Derrick Jones that are more defenders and lockdown guys. But I think it's probably starting to sour taste in the officials' mouths and just the public's mouths and eyes of seeing him complain after every single foul call.
They're not going to win the series. That's not going to happen. So off-season, I don't know how much maneuverability they have, but they need to add to this roster. So what do they need to add, aside from probably getting Luka in a little better shape, get him a little more serious about defense? What do they need to add in terms of personnel? It doesn't have to be specific names, but positions or type of players.
Most likely they're not going to win. Never say never. I mean, it would be awesome to see a team come back. It would be awesome to see it. I'm not going to say it's going to happen.
Okay,
it would be fun. We can't end the NBA playoffs right now. We still need at least another couple games. But they definitely have to add some pieces. I think what they have in terms of a core is really good, obviously, with P.J. Washington and Daniel Gafford coming over in that trade from the Charlotte Hornets. At the trade deadline, that put them in a good position, and they were one of the best teams in the NBA since that point. So they had a full season with this roster, but they definitely needed some more scores. And obviously what P.J. Washington did in the early couple of rounds of playoffs, Tim Hardaway Jr. is typically a guy that knocks down shots. They need somebody that's going to come in and contribute and bring more offensive firepower to them, at least in catch-and-shoot situations, more so than what they have. But maybe get a little bit longer and rangier in terms of their athletes. Obviously, Josh Green from the University of Arizona, he's a guy that's shown some progress. But I don't think that they're quite athletic and long enough and have enough guys that can contribute on both ends of the floor right now, obviously, compared to what the Celtics have. So they've got to go out and find some guys, but it might be some free agent additions that they can add. But they also did really good in the draft last year, so I think this team is going to have some firepower moving forward in years to come.
Speaking of Tim Hardaway Jr., we're in the regular season, he was the third best player on this team, and now we're not really seeing a whole lot. He's only averaging, 4 points a game right now in the postseason. Do you think it's just a matchup thing, or is there something going on more with him?
Well, obviously, he missed a lot of time in the playoffs. Towards the end of the season in the playoffs, he was injured. And so I think it's a situation where he's just not a part of that strong rotation right now. He's got a lot of comfortability with what they were doing. But like you said, he was a guy that made a lot of shots, was a third leading scorer on that team. But then again, when they did make that trade, it always adjusts lineups and rotations, and then injury you add into there. So he's gonna have to be back for them. I mean, this next game tomorrow, he's gonna have to make some shots, or somebody's gonna have to. But I think with the line of him, I think it's just a different type of team what they have now by adding P.J. Washington out there and getting Gafford. And then Derek Lively being able to contribute as well. So I think this team they're still trying to find their identity. I think they did a good job down the stretch of the season and obviously through the course of the playoffs, but I think they're just not quite there yet. But like Coach Jason Kidd mentioned, this is time for them to not shy away from it. It's a great learning opportunity, and typically most teams go through these struggles before they're able to come to fruition and win that championship or climb to the top of that mountain.
What's the most impressive thing, Curtis Terry, that the Celtics have shown you in this series?
I mean, I think just a way to continue to get it done. I mean, obviously, I think a lot of people probably were hesitant to say they'd be able to get it done when Kristaps Porzingis went down initially. But then they were still able to find a way to get it done and get wins and have different guys contribute. But I think that's what it is. I think any given night, whether it's Jaylen Brown, Holiday, Derek White, I mean, even Porzingis, the first two games of the playoffs, any given night, they've got somebody that can step up and lead this team offensively. And then they've got a slew of guys that are all willing, unlike Luka at times, all willing to defend and contribute and just lock in on that end of the floor. So I think, again, Brad Stevens has done just a great job in terms of building this team. But obviously, so did Danny Ainge in terms of accumulating a lot of those draft picks before he left town. But I think just their versatility and ability for any given guy to be able to do it any given night is what makes them really hard to beat, not only defend, but I think that's what other teams are striving to do and what you're starting to see across the league.
I don't want to be prisoner of the moment. CT's with us, Curtis Terry, helping us out as an NBA insider, of course, former Running Rebel, one of the voices of Rebel Basketball on radio, co-host of the Kevin Kruger radio show. A lot on his resume. I think this Celtics team, now that Tatum and Brown are fully mature, we've been waiting for this for a while. They're 26 and 27. I think they have a big three. I think Jrue Holiday is a legit star in this league. With this big three, and they're all under contract for another couple of years, they can win multiple titles, right?
Yeah, obviously, why not? And I think everybody probably could have won one the last couple of years, but it's just them not being able to do it. And just seeing that if they can do it, they're so great in the regular season, but could they climb that mountain? Could they overcome it? And I think so far they are. And I think it's going to be interesting. I think Jason Tatum made a comment about, this is not going to satisfy them, but they expect to be able to do this in the future moving forward. And I think that's true. I think, like you mentioned, Jrue Holiday, he's probably their most important player, I would say. I don't know if he's their best player. He's their most important player night in and night out for this thing to go. And I think we see that with him not there the last couple of years, but being there this year. He takes so much pressure off everybody else. He's been there before. He's a vet. He can score. He can defend. They're obviously most likely going to win it this year. Odds are they'll probably be the favorite to win it next year, probably next couple seasons.
Yeah, I just wonder, we've had these discussions, like who's going to rise up to be legit 55-win, good playoff team in the East aside from the Celtics? Who's got that potential? Because you look at a lot of it comes down, Curtis, a lot of it in the Eastern Conference, you look at the other good teams, you're like, okay, they're good, but durability with this guy, durability over here, like, who's going to be the team?
Yeah, I think that's the important thing. And he also made the comment about they're going to say that they didn't play anybody, so it doesn't really count. So we'll have to do it again next year. I think that was the comment he made. But I think for them, you look at the Knicks, obviously what Jalen Brunson was able to do, they're figuring that thing out with Coach Tibbs. The Sixers, they're right there. They're close to making it happen. If they can get that third star, we talked about just Harden not being there early in the season and how that was going to impact them. So if they can get a third star, I really like the Orlando Magic. Obviously, they're a really young team. They got Paolo Banchero, a guy who's really from the Seattle area. I think they've got some things going in the right direction. They got to add some pieces. But if it's not going to be the Knicks, or the Sixers, it's going to be the Celtics for the foreseeable future. Because I just think they're the ones that have it figured out. But then, what is going to come of the Pacers? Obviously, they're a team that can get it done. Health, injuries. But they have a lot of players that play a lot of the same type of ball, so I think they've got to mix it up a little bit more. I think those are your three or four teams.
There's some big names in free agency coming up this summer. Who do you want to see go where? What is like one of your dream moves?
Who are they?
We've got LeBron. He's got a player option, but Rich Paul kind of leaked that he's opting out and going to be a free agent. We've also got DeRozan, Paul George, Pascal Siakam. Do any of those pique your interest if they join another team and could make a run?
Maybe. I think the LeBron thing, obviously, that's what's gonna set everything in motion, right? Depending on if he stays or if he goes, and he's got that option until after the NBA draft, till after that second night of the draft in the new format. So I think it's gonna be interesting to see what happens. But again, I think there's a lot of teams that are just one or two players away. Now, is Kevin Durant going to want to get traded out of Phoenix and go somewhere else? Does he kind of go back to Oklahoma City, reunite, and try to lead them to a championship like when LeBron went back to Cleveland? I think there's a lot of different things that can play out in terms of what's going to happen in free agency. But I think a lot of it depends on how this draft shakes out, if there's going to be any trades, and people kind of fill in spots there. But LeBron is going to be that first domino. And depending on how long he takes to because if he doesn't stay, obviously everybody else is in contention, and that's going to shake everything up with trades and other free agents and moves.
Curtis Terry is on Cofield and Company. All right, let's wrap on a couple of running Rebel points. I know you saw this, and followers of UNLV basketball are kind of going batty right now over the news that came out from Jeff Goodman, national college basketball guy, saying that Keelan Boone is expected to enter the transfer portal, grad transfer, take advantage of a recent rule where the NCAA is providing an additional year to anyone deemed ineligible to complete any portion of season. This one's interesting. I know you're not in town. I have no idea if you've called anyone to get information on this, but what are you seeing here? Because this would mean that somehow Keelan Boone, who, yes, he did get a job last year and missed, I think it was 7 games, is there going to be a way for him to get a 6th year of college basketball eligibility?
You know, I had not heard about that, Steve. But if how you read it, how I understood it, that would be very interesting. Now, with that said, that's a huge keep for Coach Kevin Kruger if that actually is something that's possible, keep him in the mix along with the recruits that they brought in and those transfers. But I think that's what's the interesting or unknown part of college sports right now in college athletics is most people in the common public, general public, don't understand the rules or what can happen, or can a player go, or can they leave, or if they get extra years, or is their free year from COVID over? So I think that's something that's definitely going to get explored. I know I haven't heard anything on that one yet, but I think from the Rebel standpoint, a Rebel fan standpoint, if you were able to add Keelan Boone back to how he finished this season in terms of his scoring and kind of leadership, I think that makes the Rebels even that much more dangerous just because of the type of player and position that he plays on the court and what he brought to the team last year.
I'll answer this one because, again, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if this is something the NCAA rules on. They got to go to court, and everyone who had a sit out last year gets more eligibility. I also know that the transfer portal technically is not open, so there's no portal to go into. I'll answer this from my sources. Anyone out there on social media who's like, UNLV didn't know about this? Folks, stop. Please stop. Because here's the thing, and I'm not going to say like I have any guarantee that there's been, say, conversations between Keelan Boone and UNLV. Curtis, as you know from being around, playing college basketball and being around college basketball, and also the best thing to see is at Mendenhall, when players finish up their eligibility at a particular school, it's not like that player never, ever talks to the head coach or assistants ever again. Like, you see them at Mendenhall all the time. Now, I don't know if Keelan Boone has been there, but, like, conversations are had. It doesn't just stop, right?
No, not at all. I think that they always continue. And I think especially the guy like Keelan with the personality that he has, pretty outgoing and very engaging, not just with his teammates but with the coaching staff as well. And I think with the kind of coach that Kevin Kruger is and his staff are, I find it very, very unlikely that they did not know about this possibility. But with that said, I don't think you can recruit based on that possibility because if it doesn't come to fruition – but I think there's definitely been conversations, or they are in touch with each other. But like you mentioned, just coming through, not just, I mean, the Mendenhall, but then also Las Vegas, there's tons of guys, former players, and even guys that are just on vacation and visiting or going to be a bunch of guys there during summer league. So there's definitely conversations that are had. So it's going to be interesting to see how this turns out. But anybody that thinks that they didn't know about this or didn't talk about this beforehand or have this on kind of their vision board, they're definitely not up with the times.
Like, people may be shocked on something like this, and I think it's been out there. There's been some pictures. I put out a picture when I saw him maybe last year or the year before. Like, Brandon McCoy's experience, remember, you know, him with Menzies from years ago, and, you know, it ended pretty quickly. Some of it was kind of sour. You know, he's been trying to make professional basketball, trying to play professional basketball. Like, he doesn't – and I guess he has – I guess you could say technically with Menzies or the Krugers, he has – but, like, Brandon McCoy will be around. He's a one-year guy. Like, the program is a family. So the notion that, like – Keelan Boone did this, and he didn't even talk to UNLV at all about an extra year. Like, folks, come on.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know numerous times the last couple of seasons where Brandon McCoy has been at games at UNLV, and so for the fact of him to be able to be around and like Keelan Boone and guys that had a big contribution and took him to the postseason, but then guys like myself that played there for 4 years and still involved with the program now, and so there's a lot of different guys that come through, and it's probably not as tight-knit as some other college basketball programs, kind of their alumni. but for the Vegas one, and we all treat each other, if once a Rebel, always a Rebel, whether it's for half a semester, 1 year, 5, 6 years, depending on COVID rules and red shirts. So, yeah, there's definitely guys that are always going to be around no matter what.
And that's kind of the crazy thing in closing on this. With Boone or some other people looking for eligibility, like it really is impossible to keep track of between the COVID year, injuries, red shirts, missions. I mean, and the NCAA is never consistent on it. So if I don't blame Keelan Boone for being like, hey, let's try it. You know, I'd like to play another year of college basketball. Let's roll the dice. It might be the NCAA that decides it. It might be a judge. It might take 6 months. It might take a week. It could be tomorrow. You don't know, so give it a try.
Yeah, and you mentioned. I mean, and you mentioned with a guy like that, with a guy like Keelan Boone. I mean, if draft stock is not very high, I mean, obviously he played in the Portsmouth Invitational and was able to put up some numbers there. But like, if the draft stock is not high, or opportunities as an undrafted guy or kind of the right deal overseas, why would you not want to come back, especially in this day and age when you can make money on NIL? And if you can prolong starting that professional career, come back with a team that should be pretty good on paper and have a chance to compete in the Mountain Conference. And for the postseason and be one of those main guys and make some money because of NIL, I mean, I don't see any reason why somebody like that wouldn't sign up for it, or at least explore it if that opportunity was there.
Curtis, you're the man. 68 degrees today in Seattle?
Yep, 68 and cloudy.
Oh, my God.
So it's supposed to rain this weekend, but at least not 100 and who knows what.
Thanks, CT. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
We'll see you guys soon.
There he is, Curtis Terry. I'll have a little more on Keelan Boone because I don't think we explained the story on the front end enough, so we'll follow up on that. And then we've got more TV news. Look at this. Everyone who thought, wow, in college football, if they have to pay the players, I mean, how do you do that? Watch the revenue streams that are going to be coming in. You're gonna be whacked if you were like real pessimistic on the future of college basketball. Everything is for sale. They're coming up with some really crazy stuff.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Wrapping things up, what do we got in the hockey game right now?
It is currently 0-0. They just went to commercial, so I'm not sure how much time. I think around 5 minutes in the first.
Stanley Cup final, Edmonton, the Panthers. By the way, the Panthers had a tough time getting to Edmonton, didn't they? Didn't their flight get delayed for a long time?
Oh, yeah. Apparently there was some sort of flooding or a big storm in South Florida. I'm not really sure, but yeah.
They stuck on the tarmac in Lauderdale for a while. That was yesterday.
Yep. Got in around 8 p.m. Pacific time last night.
5 minutes left in the first. It's scoreless. The Caitlin Clarks are playing the Dream. It's 77-74, Indiana. Just 3-10 on the year. Dream, remember, beat the Aces.
Indiana's blowing this game.
It's 77-74, 4.5 minutes left. Dallas on, check that, trailing Seattle. Storm are good. On the road, Seattle's leading 88-76. On ESPN Las Vegas, we've got the Aces and Phoenix. It's a 5.5-point spread. Aces favored on the road. It's in Phoenix. And that'll be on Amazon tonight, so that'll be interesting to watch. And pregame here on the station is at 6:30. So just to repeat, there's been a lot of freaking out today about Keelan Boone, one of the best players last year, especially, you know, once he was eligible, that's when the Rebels took off and kind of got their season together. He's trying to get a 6 year of eligibility. A college basketball reporter tweeted out that, hey, he's going to be in the transfer portal, and people, you know, school, you know, fans start going crazy. And then Rebel fans are like, we filled out the roster. We would love to have him back. Does Kruger know what's going on? Like, it's been looked into. Hell, I'm sure San Diego State even asked about it. Right? Now, the question is he going to be eligible? How does he get a 6 year of eligibility? And it could be decided like it was last year. NCAA saying nothing could be decided in freaking December. So there's a lot going on here. Then you have to have room on your roster.
Yep.
If it's an NIL money thing, you also have to have room on your roster and the budget. So start looking around if you're like, hey, Keelan Boone might land here if he's eligible, for kind of the familiar suspects who have been spending a lot of money. A lot of it's out of the Big 12. So, we'll see. Story's not written yet, so we'll find out what happens at some point, but it could be a long time. But, you know what, if he wants to play college basketball, I hope he's eligible. I hope he gets a 6 year. I think he's a good guy, good storyteller, good player, good leader. It'd be fun to see him play.
I think he'll get to 6 year.
Ooh, okay. Bold prediction. For Danny, for Mateo, for Sweet early in the show, for Griffin back on the board, thanks to Circa Las Vegas for housing the show today. We'll see you tomorrow live at the Southern Nevada Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony.